This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The latest tips and equipment to improve your game. The latest from the leaderboards and your favorite courses. This is Golf in the Northwest, an action-packed hour about everything golf. Brought to you on the fan by Laurelhurst Market. More than just your family neighborhood steakhouse. Now with award-winning PGA professional Harold Bluestein. Here's your host, Jason Swigard.
And a fine good morning to you all. First and foremost, we hope everyone is safe and out of harm's way. Our hearts go out to those who have suffered loss here. Over the last week, and a really unprecedented set of circumstances. As somebody who's been grown and raised here for nearly 50 years, I've never seen anything like this, just what people are having to deal with. And we will discuss golf over the next hour with the understanding that there's a lot more pressing issues going on for many of us here in the area.
Shine for an otherwise really difficult time for many people. Swag, you and I have been in the area. I've been here since 1980. I haven't seen anything like this. This is quite a challenge for those people south of us, but even those of us here in Portland, Vancouver area experiencing all the smoke is very difficult. We did have some bright spots coming into this week, even though we're in the midst of a pandemic. It's what could go worse in 2020? I'm not quite sure. But it has really tested all of our resolve and our ability to appreciate the ones we love and our neighbors.
And as it relates to golf, I know that I've seen some graphic photos, frightening photos of how close the fires have gotten to courses throughout the state. Tokatee, I know one of the fires there in Central Oregon got close. Dusty was telling me Centennial Golf Course down in Southern Oregon was dangerously close to some of the fires in the Medford, Ashland area. I believe the golf course out there on Chinook, or right near Chinook Winds, off 18 as it merges with 101, was in the line of fire there. Hopefully, it's not, the damage isn't too great, but we know fires, that the Chehalem Bald Peak fire. I don't think that's near Chehalem Glen, but Stone Creek has had to close mostly due to air quality. But Oregon City is frightfully close to fire lines. With fires in Estacada and Malala. So certainly while we want everybody their safety, we hope the year's been tough enough for golf courses just trying to stay afloat, hopefully getting rounds out there without tournaments and food and beverage and all the normal things that golf courses need to thrive. So hopefully they'll be able to once this stuff blows out. It's going to be a few more days, sounding like from the weather reports, but the courses will all be okay in managing.
Yeah, I will be back at it again here in a couple of days, as I understand, with possible rain next week, intermittent rain. That's really going to help those firefighters. I give them an awful lot of credit and a big, huge thank you for putting their lives on the line out there. I can't imagine how difficult that is for them. Knowing that, and many of them are local firefighters, knowing that their families are in danger also.
Yep.
Kudos to them.
No question. Our hearts go out to you, and hopefully there will be it's tough. There's not much you can do to support right now. I know the American Red Cross and the local chapters taking cash donations. If you can afford to spare a few shekels, that's probably the best way. Mm-hmm. They will be able to get the supplies to people that have been displaced, what the firefighters need out there to support. They're asking not to bring necessarily items, but cash right now is what they need. So that being said, we will forge on with golf. A lot to get to today. Excited to catch up with Elliot Waxman, one of our friends of the show. You've heard him throughout the years. Certified, what's his, sports psychologist and
sports performance. Correct.
It is sports, PortlandSportsPsychology.com is the website. He works with a lot of local high school, college teams, individuals on the mental approach and the mental preparation for top performance. So we're looking forward to talking to him at 8:30 in our tip segment. So much going on. Quite a wild finish to the PGA Tour season, the Tour Championship, the top names. It was fun to see the top four ranked players go at it. And then Xander Schauffele making a charge. I imagine he, I don't know if he moved up into the top five in the golf world golf rankings, but he's somebody that's certainly considered a top 10.
Oh, I'll tell you what, he was seven behind starting the day, and he almost caught Dustin Johnson. Xander Schauffele, if you've got a little bit of money, extra money, that throw it down for Xander Schauffele at the U.S. Open. I think that's a very, very good bet. This kid's playing great golf. The stage doesn't seem to affect him.
No, and he keeps being there, so he's more used to it.
Yeah, three top five finishes in the playoffs. I believe that's correct. Top three career top three finishes in the playoffs. That's bringing it when you're supposed to bring it. And yep. I think going and at difficult golf courses and at less difficult golf courses, Xander Schauffele can play, and he's got a great all-around game.
No question. So that's going on. The LPGA is surviving the heat down there in Mission Hills for their first major of the season, the ANA Inspiration. And maybe we're seeing the coming out party of the next great American female golfer. So much to get to. And the PGA of America awards their tour or their player of the year on the PGA Tour. And I'm confused, and it's different from the PGA Tour Player of the Year, which is voted on by the players. And so Harold and I are going to get into that in a little bit, too.
Yeah, we will. I'm not real happy about how the PGA of America came to this decision. You've got, and we'll get into it a little bit.
And plus, Harold survived my round of golf on Monday. We played together for the first time in quite some time, and it was a harrowing experience for him. But
I did survive. We're going to talk to Elliot Waxman and how coaches survive the failures and the successes of their students.
As well as what I need to go back and work on as well. So lots to get to here. We always get started by going inside the ropes.
It's time for an insider's look at the leaderboards. The latest on all tours, plus local golf events and golf news. This is Inside the Ropes, part of Golf in the Northwest.
We'll start with the European Tour. Last week at one of the tougher courses they play, Valderrama in Spain, American, John Catlin, he held off Martin Keimer down the stretch. I believe the winning score was 2 over par, but he gets his first European Tour championship. And he's right back in it, a 6-under 65 today, vaulting him up currently in a tie for ninth as they are in Portugal for the Portugal Masters. A young French player, Julien Guerrier, who comes in ranked 667th in the world, is your leader at 12 under, but he's 2 over today, maybe feeling the crunch a little bit, never being in this position on the European Tour.
Yeah, that is a tough place to come from out of nowhere, but that's what we see a lot of, and there's a lot of Cinderella stories in golf over the years. I watched Catlin play last week, and he played quite solidly. Martin Keimer kind of handed him the tournament. But it's good to see Martin Keimer back. He's making mistakes on the golf course that we're not used to seeing a major champion make. But it's good to see him back.
No question. And it's good to see, as important as it is to see how young players or players that are in position to win for the first time on a tour stepping up in competition handle the pressure on a Sunday coming down the stretch. Especially on a difficult course like Valderrama.
Yeah.
I mean, usually the European courses, you're used to seeing 12, 15, 18 under par for a lot of them, but they finished over par there. But it's almost, okay, now how do you handle winning? He comes back. He had even par 72 to open up, but then 69, 65 in his last two rounds. So his game is in a good place. So his game is okay, but mentally and then the extra... all the extra stuff that comes on top of being a winner for the first time, you seem to be able to process it and not let it affect his game.
Yeah, and it comes down to, I know Elliot knows a little bit more, has a little more insight into some of how confidence can really propel you to the next level. Yes.
The same way lack of confidence just
It'll bury you.
Yeah.
And so it's important. It's good to see a player building. Oftentimes when it's a new experience like this and a new win, the adrenaline level is so high that it can absolutely exhaust you and physically bring you down. And when you get down physically, then emotionally you could drift down also. He's maintaining it. He keeps that adrenaline level up. He's looking at another good tournament.
Well, yeah, because he jumped near the top 30 in the race to Dubai, their season-ending tournament, and it's also propelled him up. He's now 145th ranked golfer in the world. So once you start getting in the top 150 and close to top 100, you're starting to look at WGC events and
absolutely
all sorts of things like that. The Korn Ferry Tour is continuing, even though it had its sort of tour championship. Some tournaments that were postponed during when everything was shut down for COVID, they're replaying them. The Evan Scholars Invitational in Westchester, Illinois. They started round three. Right now, they are suspended due to inclement weather, but a couple of guys looking for their first Korn Ferry Tour victories. Brad Brunner, who's a journeyman. He's at 11 under, tied with Curtis Thompson, one of Lexi's two older brothers from the golf playing family. They're both at 11 under. Last week, it was Brett Druitt, Australian journeyman, gets his first win in his 116th career start on the Korn Ferry Tour. Father's Day in Australia is different. It's the first Saturday or first weekend in September, not the third Sunday in June as it is in the United States. So
why is that?
I don't know.
That's really interesting. So every country has a different Father's Day. Is that what you're saying?
Apparently so.
Okay. I don't know.
But yeah, he's got a young 18-month-old at home. Got to celebrate Father's Day with his first Korn Ferry Tour victory. And yeah, that moved him right up into the mix of things. He went from 73rd to 18th on the Korn Ferry Tour point standing.
Boy, you are just full of stats this morning.
I've been up since 5. I've been doing research.
Yeah, drinking coffee. So that's... And I didn't hear a hole-by-hole replay of your golf this week because I happened to be there witnessing it.
Yeah.
So that was a relief for me. I could enjoy the morning.
So, yeah, Brad Brunner, Curtis Thompson, now a longtime PGA Tour, Korn Ferry Tour veteran, Rico Hoey's at 10 under par. You've got then Steven Yeager at 9 under in a big group, Adam Svensson, Mito Pereira is at 8 under par, so some more familiar names there. Let's take a break. Lots to get into with the LPGA Tour, who's going to be in Portland next week for the Cambia Classic, even though fans won't be able to attend. But they're dialing it up. Their first major, the ANA Inspiration at Mission Hills Country Club. And then, of course, the PGA Tour, no offseason. They have the Tour Championship. That season's done. The new season starts this week at the Safeway Open down in Napa, one of the four tournaments our buddy Jeff Sanders runs and operates for Sport 5. So we'll get into those as well as wrapping up the Tour Championship. Dustin Johnson, not named the PGA of America Player of the Year, Harold will try to explain how that came to be as we get going.
Thanks.
It's Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
You want to get back up?
8:17 here this morning. Elliot Waxman going to join us at 8:30 in the Ask the Pros segment. Talk about the mental approach to the game. You all right over there, Harold?
Yeah.
You're looking for Will?
No. Yeah. You got my mic on. I had to ask him why he missed turning it on, turning it off.
He's doing a lot of distractions here this week, no question.
It's been a distracting time, and it's really test your, like I said earlier, test your resolve to stay on task and just to deal with one day at a time.
That's pretty much what we've got cooking, and kind of similar. There's a lot of analogies that can be drawn from golf. It's one hole at a time. It's one shot at a time. You have to let one shot go, accept what happened, and then assess where you're at and move on. So, and we move on to the LPGA. So they were off last week, first major of the year. Temperatures skyrocketing out there in the desert, South California at Mission Hills for the ANA Inspiration, the old Nabisco Dinosaur. Nelly Korda is your leader, 11 under par. She has a two-shot lead over Miriam Lee. Then it's four shots back to Lexi Thompson and Nanna Kurtz Madsen of Denmark. And many have been expecting Nelly, who has the game, the younger sister of Jessica Korda, who maybe is more athletically talented than Jessica, just hasn't put it all quite together yet. But 44 putts, 28 of 36 greens in regulation. She hit 13 of 14 fairways in her second round. And no three putts. She's cruising.
Yeah, she's been known to be a really good ball striker for quite some time. The stat that I'm looking at is number one. No, she was bogey free. So was Miriam Lee. That's not easy to do in the heat and such. But her putting, and she was working with her swing coach Justin Sheehan on her putting specifically, kind of the way Dustin Johnson said, wait a minute, I got to be a better putter. The problem with Nelly was that she didn't think she was a good putter. They did make a physical change, though. She went to cross-handed, so left hand low for the right-handers here. And sometimes just switching up like that can make a big difference. The difference between a right-hand low and a left-hand low putter is that a left-hand low putter pulls and drags the putter through impact. A right-hand low putter hits the ball more with the right hand.
Pushes the club head through.
Exactly. So I think with a right-hand low, you'll see more of an accelerated stroke. With the left-hand low, you'll see more of a pendulum type of stroke. That's not necessarily true for everyone. But she changed that, and consequently, she's avoided three putts. And the thing that she did that was impressive is when she was in trouble, she made two long par-saving putts. Again, like Dustin Johnson on the 13th hole, mm-hmm. where he needed to make, about a 20-footer to save par. That can really keep a round and momentum going. She did the same thing. Made an 18-footer and a 25-footer. So mishit shots, gets up on the green, and able to save a par. I can tell you as a professional myself, sometimes making a long putt for a bogey and a par can really set the tone for the rest of the round and make you feel like, wait a minute, I can play, I can score as long as I can make that putt.
Yeah.
And I had the confidence to make it. I can make any putt, and I can play well.
So she's,
that's what she went through.
Yeah. She's out there again. Those 44 putts were on greens in regulation. So 53 putts overall through two rounds, that leads the entire field.
Yep.
And if you're hitting greens at nearly 80% clip, that means you're not, you're not putting for par, trying to save par or bogey. You're putting for birdies. If she gets that piece of her game down, she's plenty long, nearly 6 feet tall like her sister. So she's averaging 273, 275 yards in the drive, measured driving distance, which is plenty of distance on the LPGA Tour. Could she be finally the one that takes over? Lexi had been the default best American female for so long, but many think she should be winning more, and putting has been her bugaboo. In what's keeping her, because she powers it. She's as long as anybody on the women's tour.
Well, Lexi kind of is like a Bryce DeChambeau. They impress you with their length. They struggle a little bit around the greens and on the green. And that's something that she has to clean up. I don't think Lexi Thompson by any stretch is going to be in anyone's shadow. She's really just still a top American player. It's good to see Nelly come up and play well. And this is her first opportunity and the first time to have a 36-hole lead in a major, because she's never won one. So I like to see I like to see a player like her who's been around a little while step up to that next level. Whether she's going to be the next great thing on the American side, not sure. I look down the leaderboard to players who haven't played well, like Christina Kim. She's out of nowhere at 5 under. Good to see her back also. Yep. So the Americans are looking pretty strong. Daniel Kang, with a win here, could take over number one in the world. She's a ways back now at 5 under. She's going to need some help from those at the top falling back.
Well, she's only 2 shots out of a tie for third. So this is really about if Lee or Korda has a great third round today and puts some distance, then it could become the two of those, maybe a match play event in the final round. If they struggle, if conditions are such and they come back to the field a little bit, then it's going to be a horse race on Sunday.
Yeah, it definitely will be. This is pretty exciting stuff. And it is really hot down there and expecting temperatures to go up in
close to 120. It's insane.
I can't play in
that
weather.
They've got the caddies are being allowed to have carts. They got volunteer brigades with ice towels and water and stuff for everybody.
You still got to play.
Yeah.
That's hard.
And the players still have to walk it. So the caddies are being allowed to use carts so that they don't get heat stroke, heat exhaustion, that sort of thing. So should be a fun one to watch there. As for the PGA Tour, we mentioned the new season starting just as soon as the previous season ended with the Safeway Open. Our buddy Sanders is down there in Napa making the best of it. Sam Burns, the former LSU Tiger, 15 under par, 64-65. As they are playing down there in Napa, tearing it up. Harry Higgs, who had a walk-off albatross to finish his round yesterday.
Can you believe that?
10 under 62 to get to 13 under par. Cameron Percy and Russell Knox, DJ Trahan, all 12 under. Scott Harrington, our good buddy here from Portland, he had it to 10 under, but a couple of bogeys finishing up yesterday knocked him back to 8 under. He's still tied for 17th. Phil had a better round in round two, a 5 under 67, so he is 6 under, playing this weekend. And trying to figure out, he still can't find the fairway. And if he can't straighten out the driver here in the next two rounds, he's got no shot at Wingfoot.
Well, you know, Phil and Wingfoot have a history, but you're right. He'll have no chance.
Because I've heard the rough is obscene, like 4 inches or something obscene for
the US Open. The USGA is going to cut that back.
I've heard they're going to just let him suffer.
Well, I've read a couple of things. One said that the rumor is that they're going to cut it back, and I think they should. We can talk about the U.S. Open and the history of the USGA making golf courses almost unplayable. They're kind of manufacturing difficult, and I don't think that's necessary to do that. Still, though, Phil's going to have to hit fairways, whether it's 2.5-inch rough or 4-inch rough.
I think he only hit 4 out of 14 yesterday. And still, I mean, that's how good his short – we all know about his short game, and he gets the putter going and what he can do around the greens, but he's not going to have that ability because there's 480, 500-yard par 4s for the USGA. So while this course only playing – it's not playing ridiculously long.
Right.
So even if you're off the fairway, you can still gouge a wedge out of there and give yourself a chance. You're not going to have that fortune at the U.S. Open.
No, you're certainly not. And also, we've got too many good players who are playing well, and DJ being one of them, Justin Thomas, another. I mentioned Xander Schauffele. You've got some players who are really want to win this U.S. Open. Tiger Woods has no chance. Phil has no chance unless he can get it in play. But even if Phil does, I think it's going to be very difficult for him to win that lone major that he has yet to win.
Yep, yep. Dustin Johnson wins the Tour Championship. He gets that staggered start lead after accumulating the most FedEx Cup points. Xander Schauffele tried to hunt him down, but Dustin too much. Once he figured out how to find the fairways on Saturday and Sunday, he was just striping it. He got that little, bullet baby fade that he's mastered. He just go to, doesn't matter if it's a dog leg right or left. When he gets that dialed in and can carry it 310, what are you supposed to do?
Well, 310 is not a baby fade. I can tell you, we call it more of a power fade, and he makes it look easy. So you might consider it a kind of a baby fade. And baby so much as it doesn't slice. Keep in mind that a slice that hits the fairway is a fade, okay?
Well,
and a
I
hook
do.
That hits the fairway is a draw.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the way you
But he's able to seemingly control it where it goes precisely where he wants it to. He knows how much it's going to curve and where he's got to aim to bring it back.
Yeah, we have a misconception about Dustin Johnson and the way he plays golf and his demeanor on the golf course. And I've, through this last tournament and the playoffs, there was a little more information given out on his personal side.
Yeah.
This guy's very intense. He is a thinker. He does plan. He does things in a certain way. He has certain routines that he follows. And we see this guy's, kind of swagger and moving down the fairway so relaxed without like nothing in the world bothers him. But he admitted he was very nervous, particularly on the back nine. He felt it. He stayed within himself. And I think that Dustin Johnson grew up on the back nine in the Tour Championship. Knows he can win a big another major.
Yeah, he publicly stated it was important. This was something that was important to him. He felt in his resume, in his legacy, to have on the docket that he won a FedEx Cup. And he stated that publicly, which is not something he had done previously. But everybody wants to win majors. That's no big deal. But this had a certain extra importance to him. With where he was and what he wanted to have on his resume, he usually doesn't discuss those things publicly as he had. And so the fact that he went out and closed it, hopefully he gets rest this week. He's not playing, obviously, after playing, I don't know how many straight weeks he played going down the stretch. But I have to think he's an overwhelming favorite at Wingfoot.
Well, I would think so. And you bring up an important issue. You know, it was only 2 months ago at Memorial. He's
80. Bye-bye.
Yeah. And then the next week shoot 78 and had a withdrawal because of a bad back. So if he can stay healthy, unlike Brooks Koepka, I think Dustin Johnson would be an odds-on favorite. Although you have John Rahm.
Oh, the fields are insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
Justin Thomas, who made a shot at it, Xander Schauffele, Rory.
Yeah.
If Rory can avoid the one bad round, that seems to be his thing. He'll just have one round where he can't score.
Well, it's difficult to pay attention for four rounds. I don't know if the everyday golfer appreciates how difficult it is to remain in focus, stay in your routine, avoid distractions for four rounds. That's a lot of golf.
Well, we're going to talk to somebody who knows a lot about that next. Elliot Waxman, a sports psychologist, is going to join us as we make the turn here. It's Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
Tips for your game from award-winning PGA instructor Harold Bluestein. It's time to Ask the Pro on Golf in the Northwest. Brought to you on The Fan by Laurelhurst Market.
8:33 here this morning, Center and Saint to follow us. And then later this evening, it will be Lakers-Rockets basketball for you. 4:30 pregame tip just after 5. And, of course, tomorrow morning, Seahawks open up the 2020 NFL season, 8 a.m. pregame, 10 o'clock kick at the Atlanta Falcons. That's the lineup here on The Fan this weekend. But right now, very pleased to have returning to the show one of our good friends, Elliot Waxman. PortlandSportPsychology.com is where you can learn more about him, but a certified mental performance consultant with an MA in sports psychology from Arizona. Elliot, good morning. First of all, hopefully you are well and safe considering everything that's been going on around us.
Yeah, Harold, Jason, good morning. Thank you for the invite. Love to chat with you guys.
Well, no, we always appreciate when we have a chance to catch up with you. And I know you've been working with a lot of local athletes and teams at all levels, youth, high school, college, and some professionals. But what we're witnessing here, specific to golf, what we've seen, we were just discussing Dustin Johnson, who kind of revealed a little bit more behind the scenes with his win at the Tour Championship and the FedEx Cup, being a little more vocal about things that are important to him to get accomplished. And even though it looks like he's out there for a Sunday stroll, how intense he is inside. How big a deal is that to perform not only at that level, but just get the most for recreational golfers? What are some of the things that maybe you picked up that are key to his ability to focus and perform?
Yeah, well, we watch these golfers perform and they make it look so easy. But oftentimes we forget that these guys are human. And the outside factors, whether it's weather or social justice or family, whatever it may be, these factors really impact a golfer. And we have to remember that they're human and really recognize and even admire that much more of what they're doing and how they're performing.
So, Elliot, I've got to ask you, I sent you an email a couple of weeks ago in a panic, and I said, my goodness, I need help, and I still will give you a holler. For most golfers, it is said that the longest walk in golf is the one between the driving range and the first tee. And so I have a great deal of, like most players, I have a great deal of freedom on the driving range, and I get to the first tee. Now, I played enough where, you know, I don't panic. My co-host does, but I don't. But I also don't carry the same mentality onto the golf course as I did on the driving range. How do I make that jump?
Harold, if I had a dollar for every time you threw your colleagues under the bus, I'd be retired on the beach in Mexico here.
Yeah, and I do get a dollar for every time I throw them under the bus.
No, great question. In all seriousness, yes, it is a long walk from right to the tee box there, that first opening drive there. And we have to be smart. And just like we talk about course management and making smart, educated decisions, well, same goes with the pre-round decisions. And what I mean by that is we have to prepare as well as we can for that first tee box. How do we do that? Well, we have to train and practice with distractions and with pressure. And we see this with basketball players. So, for example, when we practice free throws, a coach may add music or distractions, yelling, crowd noise or something like that. We see it with airline pilots and Air Force pilots, where they get into a simulation cockpit and they have to perform under pressure with lights and sirens and whatnot. Well, why don't we take those strategies and apply it to the golf course? And what that might look like is practicing difficult shots on the range, adding little competition drills to add pressure, make it you have to shoot X amount of shots here or there and make it a competition. add some pressure, add some distraction elements. So therefore, when we hit that first tee box, we don't have that huge amount of pressure and weight. We've already done that earlier in the morning, and therefore we are much more composed and much more mentally tough. So in other words, train with pressure, train with distraction.
So I need my wife to, or someone to yell in my backswing when I'm on the driving range so I'm ready for the first tee.
Exactly.
Well, I've often said that it's important to play, practice like we will play. So I try to hit draws, fades. I've got a grandson, gets on the driving range. The first thing he says to me is, "Grandpa, what club are you hitting and where are you going with it?" And he's you know, 11 and 12 years old. He's saying, "All right, which way are you going?" So he has this really unique young approach to playing golf. And I think the older player, like myself and like Jason, we get into the mechanics of it a little too much. So how do we differentiate? When do we cut off the mechanics and when do we get into kind of a free flow of playing?
Yeah, it's that tricky balance you're talking about, Harold, that the balance of mechanics versus the free-flowing, fun playing. And there's research behind that. And I'm fortunate enough to have gone through grad school and kind of been familiarized with that research. And it suggests that our human brains can only focus on one or two things. So when we talk about a backswing or balance or mechanics, we can't have a jumbled mind of five or six strategies. No. We have to keep our mind on one or two focal points. So for example, I want to focus on my balance right now, on my swing. My balance is really important. And then keeping that left arm nice and straight and smooth. So those two points are what my focus should be. And after that, it just gets too jumbled up.
Elliot Waxman is our guest, certified mental performance consultant with his group Portland Sports Psychology here in town. A very, very proud Lincoln Cardinal here from PIL country. And so somebody, Harold, is trying to help me reinvent my swing so that it resembles something that looks like a golfer and not a hacker. I've spent most of the first part of the year reshaping my body, losing 40 pounds, and so now I can make a more athletic maneuver. So when you're going through that, though, when you do go out, you want to see results. You want to understand to perform and keep track of that and score. Having been an athlete, you know, at younger and understanding there's a score, and that's how you keep track if you're improving or not. But what do I need to allow myself to do to not add extra pressure when you're going through a big change like this?
Yeah, well, great question, Jason. And golfers and all of us really get hung up on the results and the score. And I always joke with clients, well, that's one way to measure success, right? The scoreboard, the scorecard, okay, that's one number. Well, what are other ways to measure and track success, especially when we're making adjustments? Well, I talk with my clients about the percentage of times you perform your pre-shot routine. We need that to be 70, 80, 90%. So what I mean by that is when you get up to make a putt or even a swing, how often, how frequently are you going through each and every step to be focused and be prepared and take that breath and do your routine before that putt? And if we can get that number up to 90%, then I will live with those results. That process will lead to a quality scorecard later in the afternoon. So, in other words, the golf scorecard is one number, but we have to track other things. Pre-shot routine percentage, fairway percentage, two putts, things like this. And we need to focus on the mini process, which will lead us to the results.
And that you stole the question right out of my head there, because I was going to ask you, how important is a routine?
It's absolutely important. And why does it help us? It helps us breathe, and that gives us oxygen to our brain and muscles. Therefore, we're much more smooth on our backswing. It also, oxygen helps us make better decisions. So we need to take that deep breath on the pre-shot routine And there's, of course, many ways to do the pre-shot routine. And there's, in some sense, there's no right or wrong answers because everyone is so different. And every golfer will have his or her own routine. But I really hope that the breath is involved.
So is the routine, for me, it's physical, number one. It's also visual, number two. So I step behind the ball, I look out, and I visualize the shot I want to hit. I've already selected the club and the type of shot. And then I approach the ball, and I've had, you believe in your players hitting the ball as soon as they get to it or in several seconds, or do you want them standing over the ball for 15 seconds?
Yeah, that's a great question. Every golfer will be different in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
What I would suggest is whatever it is, keep it the same. Keep it consistent. Tiger Woods would talk about how consistent that time frame would be for him. No matter if it's the biggest shot of his afternoon or the season or if it's a practice round, whatever, however long it takes, however seconds it takes for you to address the ball and get over the ball and feel comfortable, do that every shot and make consistency a big part of your routine.
For more information or if people want to get in touch, get more detailed services from you, what's the best way to get in touch with you, Elliot?
Yeah, well, I'd love for your listeners to get my free newsletter every month. So that's free tips, free strategies, free videos coming right to your inbox all for free every month. I have things like mental toughness, or how to visualize correctly, or how to rebound from errors. And so the best way to find all that, all those tools is just my website and the monthly newsletters.
There you go, PortlandSportsPsychology.com. You can get all the links and find out more about whether it's team workshops or individual services, what Elliot might be able to help you with. Elliot, we always appreciate the time. Stay safe. Hopefully things will start clearing out. People can get back on the golf courses here sometime next week, and stay safe and sound.
Absolutely. Thank you guys very much for the opportunity. Hopefully talk soon.
You bet. Elliot Waxman, sports psychologist there. We always appreciate some time and thoughts with him. And yeah, let's discuss a little bit more about some of those things as it pertains to me specifically when we come back as we wrap things up. Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
Which new driver is best for your game? Who makes the best golf gear? Where should you take your next golf vacation? Which local course should you get to know better? This is the Business of Golf every week on Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
8:47 here. As we come down the finishing stretch of another Golf in the Northwest, an odd week. On the fan text line, just a couple of things. And one of our listeners loving the golf show, please don't forget to tell everyone golf is supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
And that is sometimes, and I responded, that is sometimes one of the hardest pieces, especially when you're trying so hard to figure out how to get better. Look, birdies are more fun than bogeys.
Well,
they just are.
Yeah, definitely. And it depends on how you define fun. For some of us, we define fun. For me personally, I define it as a challenge. For me, when I'm challenged, I'm having a great time. And that can be dangerous because now my focus is on the result and the result of a shot or the result, as Elliot was saying, just focusing on the score. And so it's a fine line.
Well, for me, it's somewhat similar, but for me, I define it as achievement.
Okay.
Which in part comes down to score.
Right.
But achievement in terms of accomplishing a goal or, you know, overcoming the challenge or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
And when you're spinning your wheels some time working through the process, it becomes, you know, a little bit overbearing at times.
Yeah. And a lot comes down to what your expectations are. So, yes, golf's supposed to be fun, but again, how do you define fun in your own life? some people define it as being a social event. They're out there kicking it and having a good time, and they don't really care about score and such. It's very hard for a professional. We talk about these tour players all the time, and you think they're having fun? This is a job. They invite the challenge. They invite the pressure. Billie Jean King said that pressure is a privilege. And for them, that's fun. It's tough, but try to enjoy it as best you can. And that makes golf very difficult at times.
And the most important thing you told me, it was a couple months ago when we first started going down this venture, was, and it helped a ton, he's like, in order for you from where you're starting now to where you want to get to, it's going to take a good year.
Mm-hmm.
And that, as difficult as it was to realize Monday when we played, helps keep some things in perspective that it truly is a process, and don't expect it to just all click overnight.
Well, exactly. And the word process is very important. So if performance is important to you, and that's how you measure your fun, I can tell you from what I saw the other day, you were hitting golf shots that you were incapable of hitting a year ago and even 6 months ago. So some very good shots. You struggle a little bit on the greens, but it's a matter of learning to trust the putting stroke and trust your ability, kind of like what Nelly Korda's coach said to her, and it applies to you. You're better than you think. If you just trust it and allow your body to perform, there's a reason we practice, and we practice so that we can perform without a lot of internal chatter, as Elliot was trying to help us with.
Go ahead.
Well, the other thing I wanted to get to before we run out of time here was this Player of the Year deal.
Yeah. Well, I have one other quick question, and I want to get people have been kind enough to shoot us some thoughts and questions on the fan text line 503-250-1080. One of them was going back to the professionals in our current state. How bad would the air quality have to be to stop a tournament? In Napa, it's 170 right now. I don't know if there's PGA of America guidelines regarding play, if you guys have it, or if it's just kind of a feel thing. I know you're involved in the local sectional PGA of tournaments that go on here for the local pros. But
yeah.
Do you guys have guidelines on that?
Well, and the guidelines are not quantified necessarily. We had a pro-am that was scheduled yesterday, a senior pro-am at Rose City, and we canceled it because of air quality. Normally, cancellations happen because of course conditions, lightning will get people off, so safety, public safety. So when you think in terms of air quality, that's public safety. I have never known a certain number to be used to saying, well, if the air quality is X, we're off the golf course. Although, if you look at your local news, they will say what's unhealthy. Yeah. And I would say that if you watched any of the golf yesterday or the last several days, in Southern California, it's pretty hazy down there. It was for the players in Napa Valley.
Napa, yeah, you can see the haze similar to what we're seeing. I can't imagine anything being, you know, if it's like this still next week for the Cambia, I don't know what they're going to do out at Columbia Edgewater.
Well, no, they'll have to do something or at least think about it. They couldn't play today.
No, they could not have played the last couple of days.
Right.
It is, one, you can barely see.
Yeah, it comes down to the tour officials saying this is not a safe situation.
Back to your other question, PGA. So the PGA of America has a PGA Player of the Year award.
Correct.
But it's more of a formula than it is, members of the media or the players voting. There's a PGA Tour Player of the Year, which is voted on by the players. And oftentimes those two are different. They were different last year. It appears they're going to be different. Justin Thomas accumulated the most points in the formula. And not only did Dustin Johnson not win, he was fifth.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Not formulas. You're a formula guy, though. You
I
like
am a formula,
that.
But they need to go back and retool it then, especially the way things are now, because the top players don't have to play. When it's based on points, you can accumulate points by playing, you know, several more events. The top players don't have to play. There's 50 events in the new season. There's normally 40-something. The top players may not play any more than a little over 20.
Yeah, and the issue I have with the PGA selection, not that I'm disappointed that it's Justin Thomas. He had a fantastic
year.
Yeah, he had three wins and a WGA.
But the only three guys that even should have been in consideration were Morikawa, because he won the only major that played in the time frame, Justin Thomas and Dustin Johnson. And for me, Dustin Johnson, when he had it rolling and the way that he won and the tournaments that he won, it's not close.
Well, and the PGA of America appears, they did not give Dustin Johnson any credit for winning the tour championship. They gave it, they gave those points to Xander Schauffele because he was basically the low gross player. So they're probably looking at this tournament and saying, well, wait a minute, this was a net tournament because Dustin Johnson started out at 10 under.
I think he still had the second lowest score.
Yeah.
It's not like he was, you know, 10th in terms of scoring.
Yeah, but they, so their formula includes victory points, money points. Now, this is an issue that you are bringing up. How often do players play? And money points means that you're not, if you miss a cut, you're not going to make any money, although you can come back the next week and win. So that's a little bit of a misconception.
Yeah. You need to get into your management there and have them retool that formula.
Yeah, I'll talk to them like they listen to me.
Or I don't know.
I'll write a letter.
There has to be a little bit more feel and nuance to it, because there's no way you should be fifth.
They're trying not to be subjective about it, and in doing so, they've diluted the whole process. Yeah. I think the players know who the best player of the year is.
And we totally expect to see Dustin Johnson win that. A lot of great golf this weekend. Thanks to Elliot Waxman for joining us. We'll be back next Saturday. U.S. Open, the Cambia Open, hopefully here in Portland. Lots to discuss. Thanks to Will Darkins, as always, for Herald. I'm Jason. Hit him straight.
There will be flogging. You know how easy I am.
Yeah, I know.
PJ's in Europe.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.